I want you to extend a welcome today to Todd Still, who's here to bring us the word today. He is the Dean of Truett Seminary. A few years ago, long before the disaffiliation process, he created a pathway for Methodists to get training to become a Methodist preacher. He has done so much work as a Baptist on behalf of Methodists. And the thing I love about both Baptists and Methodists, we all love Jesus. He loves Jesus so much and demonstrates that in his daily life. And I know you'll be blessed by his bringing the word today.
So I've been outed as a Baptist. Good morning, St. Andrew. It's a joy to be with you today. As I come, I bring greetings from Baylor University, if you want them. University of Texas fans, A&M graduates, you probably don't want them. TCU certainly doesn't want them. SMU may. But it is a joy to bring you also greetings from the George W. Truett Theological Seminary. Over recent years, I've become dear friends with your pastor and his family, and I'm grateful for the partnership that our school and this church shares in the gospel and in its good work. You find yourself in the middle of a remarkable series of sermons. Speaking of remarkable, thank you for Jubilate Deo. That was remarkable. If this is the summer choir, I'm eager to see the fall choir. What an amazing thing. But you found yourself in a series of sermons. You're in week 8 if you're doing the counting. If you haven't been here in previous weeks, St. Andrew, this sermon is looking at Jesus's prayer book. It's another way of saying that you all are studying certain psalms. What is true is that Jesus's prayer book is also Jesus's hymn book. Even as we have heard Psalm 100 put to beautiful music, these psalms were in the beginning sung. And so as we see Jesus at prayer from the Psalms and Jesus' own life being marked by the singing of the Psalter, we ourselves have been marked by these words in this prayer book, hymn book. Perhaps you have found yourself in Psalm 100 from time to time. So familiar is it. It is called the old 100th, and I want us to take just a moment to listen to and for God's word once again from these familiar lines. You'll see these words appear on the screen, and let's listen to and for God's word. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and more probable, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. One way to study the 100th Psalm is to look at the 7 summons to praise and the 7 reasons to praise. As it happens, ancients like to think with numbers. As Claude Lévi-Strauss, the anthropologist, says, they used them to think with. As it happens, the number 7 signals completion. Whether intentionally or otherwise, I could not help but recognize 7 summons to praise God and 7 reasons to praise God. Let's look at it together. As one of the movies of my childhood, Smokey and the Bandit, says, we've a long ways to go and a short time to get there. One of the things about Baptist preachers, they need more than 22 minutes. But I understand that Arthur may need more than 22 minutes too. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. What is summoned? A noise, maybe with instruments, maybe with voices. To whom are we to make it? To the Lord Himself. And who is to make it? Isn't it interesting? It's the earth. Maybe all the peoples of the earth, or maybe the earth itself. Interestingly, you might remember Jesus as he is coming into Jerusalem on the day that we now call Palm Sunday. His disciples are following in his train, and they are crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest heavens." And some of Jesus' opponents are saying, they should really stop that. Remember what Jesus says? He says, if they stop their singing, even the rocks will cry out. Let the trees of the field, Isaiah envisions, clap their hands. What is true of this psalm is that ultimately, God can't be confined in a given country among a given people because God has a way of spilling out. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, that is to say, with joy. One of the psalmists can declare, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to God's house." I remember growing up that I was always eager to come to church. I hope you still are. There are good reasons to be, not least because we have an opportunity to meet the living God in this space with his people. Speaking of growing up in church, I remember a hymn that I often sang. Some of you may know it. Our hymn books are basically stealing from Charles and John Wesley anyway. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his courts with song. To our Creator, true praises belong. Great is his mercy, marvelous is his name. We gladly serve him. Let his praise proclaim. We are to praise God with a joyful noise, and we're to serve him with gladness. We're to come into his presence, that is, before God, with singing. As the Psalms come to a conclusion, they do so in that well-known Psalm 150, which you will not study in this study, and it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." We are to know that the Lord is God. We're to realize and to recognize, to acknowledge and to acclaim that the Lord is God. We are not. Our perception of God will ultimately determine our reaction to God. So how do you perceive God? And in these lines, we see the way God ought to be thought of. We are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We are to enter his courts with praise. One of the things about the Psalms is that contemporary songwriters turn to the Psalms in order to write their songs. Maybe you know this one. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." The psalmist continues to call us to give praise to God, who is worthy of praise, by saying precisely that. Give thanks to him. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, we hear these words stated, sung. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. There are innumerable reasons to give thanks to God. As this summons is made, the last call to worship given by the psalmist is to bless his name. Another psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, if we are to praise God, it follows to ask, why ought we? Woven beautifully, naturally into this psalm are reasons that we ought to give God praise. In the first instance, in verse 3, you'll note with me that we are to praise God because it is He who has made us. We're to praise God because we are God's. I don't know about you, but as I think about Scripture and places where we are made mindful of God's creative work in our own lives, I often turn to Psalm 139. For it was you who formed me. In my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. Some of you have memorized Psalm 100 by saying, and not we ourselves. We're going to let Hebrew Bible scholars bicker about which is the better rendering. Both are true. We're going to go with, we are His. I don't know how many of you have read the Song of Songs lately. Probably very few of you. One of the interesting things is in this Song of Psalms, both Jewish and Christian interpreters have often read this love poem as a way to express God's affection towards us and ours back to God. In the Song of Psalms 2:16, the lover exclaims, my beloved is mine, and I am his. It captures that which the psalmist is seeking to say here. We are his. This is reason to give praise to God. As the psalmist continues in verse 3, he says, in parallel, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Last week, I'm told that my friend Will Dyer, who's not clearly Methodist or clearly Baptist, so maybe you kind of gave him a bit of slack. Hopefully, you're giving me even more slack. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We'll walk through Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There are a few familiar themes that are woven throughout the Psalter because some songs require singing again. Similarly, if not repeating them word for word. One can't help but wonder if Jesus was impacted not only by Psalm 23, but also by Psalm 100. In the fourth gospel, that is to say, the Gospel of John, Jesus can exclaim, I am. He can say that I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. And then in John 10, he can say, not only that I am the gate, but also I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he went out and did that very thing. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. In John's gospel, at the onset, John the baptizer can exclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as Jesus was spinning his many parables in Luke chapter 15, isn't it interesting? The three parables about being lost and found commence with a parable of a shepherd who has 99 sheep, but one gets lost, and the shepherd goes out to find him, because that's what shepherds do. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then, almost as a crescendo, as the psalmist draws this short yet substantive psalm to a close, he says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations." In some context where a leader would say, "God is good," the people would say, "All the time." And then, "All the time, God is good." Should we try it? God is good all the time. Look at that. The Lord is good. He's great, greatly to be praised. His steadfast love, it endures forever. Recall Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. And his faithfulness is, yes, to all generations. As I look back on this road I travel, Stephen Curtis Chapman can sing, "I see so many times you've carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true." My Redeemer is faithful and true in everything that he said he will do, and every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. You all, as I had opportunity to study afresh Psalm 100, I was taken back to a time that I was in seminary. That's been a few years ago by now. And seminary is not where your faith goes to die. It's where your faith goes to grow. So here I was, and as I was taking Hebrew, Scott, I was in Hebrew 2. And in Hebrew 2, one of the things that you got to do is, assigned to do, was you were able to do Hebrew, quote, exegesis. That's just the fancy word that we use to say drawing out the meaning of the passage. A Hebrew exegesis paper that was based upon a set passage, but the professor was awfully nice. He knew them all, so he let you pick. And for whatever reasons, probably because it was a shorter one, I picked Psalm 100. And I still vividly recall poring over that text, syllable by syllable, line by line, saying, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." And to have the opportunity to return to this text has been an utter joy for me. As we think about these texts, one of the things that is true about Psalm 100 is the psalmist and other Old Testament writers, they, quote, play it again, Sam. They take up lines from this psalm and they recycle them. Good enough for Psalm 100, good enough for me. And what you discover is that you find Psalm 100, parts of it, particularly verses 3 to 5, in Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118, Psalm 122, I'm not finished, 2 Chronicles, chapter 5 and 7 and 20, and yes, even tucked away in Ezra 3, 10 and 11. Maybe later you can pull out your Bibles and track those texts down to see afresh that the Lord is good. His steadfast love never ceases, and his faithfulness endures forever. Well, lots of text, lots of songs. So you may be thinking, well, what am I meant to take away from all of this? Well, many things I trust, but at least two I hope. First of all, this psalm teaches us about the character of God. We should live life mindful of God's character. I grew up around a family table that had us praying, God is great and God is good. It's true. This psalm exclaims that God is great and greatly to be praised because God is a good God. And so, in light of who God is, great and good, holy and loving, faithful and loyal, we should be a joyful people. We should be not only mindful of God's character, but we should be joyful of God's care. God is creator, to be sure, but God is also a good shepherd. Many texts encourage us to know that God cares for us. There's one in 1 Peter that says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. As we filed through these various doors this morning, we didn't have to leave our cares at the door. We can bring our cares with us into worship, even as these cares accompany us in life. But the good news is, we need not bear them alone. On the one hand, we're instructed to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. We bear one another's burdens. And on the other hand, we know that God is the one who is the burden bearer, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the one who lays down his life so that we might have life. So, as you continue to journey and are nearing the conclusion of your journey through Jesus's prayer book, stop and linger time and again at Psalm 100, which tells us about a God who made us and who enfolds us into his care and keeping so that we might know his goodness and sense his presence, not only in this place, but also, 724-365, as they might say in contemporary parlance, the 100th Psalm, 100%. Let's pray. Our good and our holy God, we are grateful for the Bible and for the opportunity to enter into a study of the Psalms. Thank you that it calls us to rejoice to pray and to give thanks. So as we do so, as we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? And may we sense your presence, though unseen, more real than any other, for which we're grateful and joyful through Jesus Christ our Lord.